Words appear. New Line Cinema presents a moving picture production. A film by Leslie Linka Glatter. Outside, a row of bicycles rest in a haphazard fashion. Four girls stand side by side on a green lawn. A girl with long, wavy brown hair. A girl with pink ribbon pigtails. A girl with shoulder-length dark brown hair. A girl with full lips and brownish blonde hair.
Yeah, come on, man.
On the opposite side of the lawn, a horde of kids stand shoulder to shoulder.
Okay, Bobby Fricker.
Gross! He's always picking his nose.
So what? He's a wimp. Come on, you guys, we can do it. Come on, Chrissy. Just hold on. Come on.
The four girls link hands. The red-headed boy smirks and dashes across the lawn. He bounces off their entwined arms. Bobby falls on the grass. They raise their hands high as they jump up and down. Inside, a silver-framed picture of the four girls rests on a table. A view of a stethoscope, a medical diploma, and a newspaper clipping of a grown woman. The headline reads, Dr. Roberta Martin pitches shutout to win league championship. The framed picture of the four girls focuses on the girl with the dark shoulder-length brown hair. Christina Ricci as Roberta. Rosie O'Donnell as Roberta. The picture in a brass frame rests on a table. A glimpse of a piano. A view of a People's Choice Award. A TV guide cover shows a woman with full red lips in a tight-fitting black dress. The framed picture of the four girls focuses on the girl with the light brown hair. Thora Birch as Teeny, Melanie Griffith as Teeny. The picture is tacked above a wooden drawer. A close-up of a typewriter, science fiction books, and a computer. The picture focuses on the girl with the long brown wavy hair. Gabby Hoffman as Samantha, Demi Moore as Samantha.
Hi, it's Sam. I'm out. Deliberately avoiding your call. Leave it at the beep.
Hello? I wasn't sure if that was your number until I heard that message. Now I know it must be you. It's me, Chrissy. The one who's expecting. That is, expecting a child and expecting you to show up like you promised with the whole old gang. Oh, no, maybe not old, but at least, older. So let us know if, I hope when you're coming in. After all,
the picture in a porcelain frame with pink roses focuses on the girl with pink ribboned pigtails. Ashley Aston Moore as Chrissy, Rita Wilson as Chrissy, Now and Then.
Thomas Wolfe once said, you can't go home again. Well, that's great for old Tom. But he wasn't a chick who made a pact with her friends when she was 12 to get together whenever any one of them needed each other. So here I am driving back to my childhood home in Indiana. A place I can tell you I never wanted to see again.
Janine Garofalo, Hank Azaria, Bonnie Hunt.
I guess a promise is a promise.
And Cloris Leachman.
Sure looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
The car ashtray overflows. Music supervisor Don Soler.
Hey, Doc. Play some people.
Hey, not today. Way too busy. Oh, that's me.
Hi, Dr. Martin.
Roberta, in a blue jean shirt, loads the back of an SUV with brown paper bags.
You should ever find someone new. You know he better be good to you.
Music composed and conducted by Cliff Eidelman. Edited by Jacqueline Campos. Pink lipsticks, hairspray, nail polish remover, and a wedding picture of Chrissy overflow on a pink dresser. Chrissy puts on pink lipstick and curls her hair. Chrissy, in a pink flowery dress, turns to reveal a very pregnant belly.
Hey, saw the Jiffy Pop, thought of you.
Thank you.
Don't go near the stove, you may burst.
Very funny. But if this baby doesn't come soon, I'm gonna have to reach in and yank it out myself.
Well, that'll be pretty.
Where's the whiz?
I got it.
Can you believe this, Tramp?
Teeny on a magazine cover.
What is it that she has that gets people so excited?
Long legs, a tiny waist, and perky breasts.
Roberta, you know how I feel about swearing.
Chrissy, breast is not a dirty word.
Can't hear you.
Breast.
Can't hear you.
Breast.
Can't hear you.
Breast.
Production designers Gershon Ginsburg and Anne Kulchian. A car drives by a sign reading, The Gaslight Edition. Director of Photography, Uli Steiger. Co-producer, Eric McLeod. Sam gets out of the car, cigarette dangling from her mouth. She wears a white shirt, black slacks, tie, and blazer with a brown vest. Executive producer, Jennifer Todd. Written by I, Marlene King.
Hey, good to see you.
Hey, Roberta. You look great.
How you doing? Picture?
Produced by Suzanne Todd and Demi Moore.
And you.
Look at you.
Thanks for coming.
A white stretch limo approaches. Teeny in sunglasses steps out, wearing a white micro skirt, jacket, and high heels.
Hey, babe.
Good Lord. How you doing, Star?
Good, Roberta.
Good to see you.
Oh, God.
Oh, go.
Look at your belly.
Tina Tercel.
Oh, teeny.
Teeny and Chrissy embrace, directed by Leslie Linka Glatter.
Victor. No, you look good.
Teeny and Sam embrace.
Come on in. Come on in.
In Chrissy's living room.
Ta-da!
Whoa, time warp.
Wow, it looks exactly like it did when your mom lived here.
You know what they say.
Like mother, like daughter.
Are we gonna get you two to drink?
Objective.
Oh, that would be great.
We don't keep hard liquor in the house.
Oh, well, whatever you have, anything, it's fine.
We have beer.
Great.
Good. Be back in a jiffy.
Teeny and Sam examine the room.
I've been looking for one of these.
Settling on a plastic-covered couch. Outside, burgers and hot dogs cook on a grill.
I can't believe you kept this thing.
Morton wanted to tear it down and put in a doughboy.
Yes, dear.
But I just couldn't part with it. Besides, it's not mine to tear down. It belongs to all of us.
Roberta is on a balcony of a pink treehouse high up in a large spreading elm tree.
I really want to thank you guys for showing up.
Hey, don't worry about it, Chrissy. I think you'll make a great mom. A little overbearing and rigid, but by the grace of God, the kid will come out relatively unharmed. And if not, there's always therapy.
Oh, I can't believe you're having a baby, Chrissy. Makes me feel very old.
This whole baby thing baffles me. I mean, you have it. You raise it. You inevitably screw it up. It resents you. Feels guilty for resenting you.
She's crazy.
Then it has a baby, which only perpetuates the vicious cycle.
Thank you, Oscar the Grouch.
So, Sam, what are you working on now?
My tan.
If you ask me, you ought to write a book about something people can relate to. I didn't understand half of that aliens next door thing of yours I read.
She'll take that as a compliment.
Why don't you write a romance novel, like Danielle Steele?
Ah.
Now there's a lady who knows how to write a page turner.
Oh, yeah.
It's true, Roberta. The longer they're gone, the weirder they get.
You know what? I'd just like to see you guys more often. Now, what's it been, huh? 10 years since you've been back?
Don't give me any grief.
That's all right.
Roberta, for example, has chosen to be alternative. She lives in sin with her boyfriend, but she's still normal.
Yes, I'm normal.
She hasn't had 4 failed marriages or an endless series of monogamous relationships or wear black.
No.
She's happy.
Technically, I have only been married 3 times. The first one was annulled.
See? How are you two two think everything is so funny. If you ask me, you both need to grow up.
Teenie and Sam are on swings below the treehouse.
Maybe you're right.
Sam swings higher and higher. Elm leaves sparkle in the dappled sunlight.
Shelby, Indiana was not the most exciting place to grow up. In fact, the most common cause of death before puberty was boredom. And in the days before MTV and Nintendo, we had to find ways to entertain ourselves.
Sam swings in the same tree.
The summer of 1970 started out like any other summer. School ended and we had 3 months of freedom ahead of us. But that year, freedom wasn't enough. We wanted independence. Place to call our own. That's why we decided to buy the treehouse. And the quest to earn the money was our summer goal. The four of us lived in the Gaslight Edition. It was a dream neighborhood. A brand new pre-planned community built when new was in and old was out.
Hey, guys, wait up!
In a bedroom at night, posters of constellations hang on the wall. Books litter the desk.
I'm tired of this. I don't want to hear it anymore.
A hamster sits in a cage. Sam lies in bed reading by flashlight. A little girl in a nightgown stands in the doorway.
No, I'm not.
The girl scurries across the room into Sam's bed.
My parents had been fighting for as long as I could remember. It never bothered me. It was the opposite, actually. There's comfort and consistency.
Morning, outside. A man kisses a woman holding a baby. A boy on a bicycle delivers papers. In a bedroom, Roberta in a white bra measures her chest.
No matter what I do, they just keep getting bigger.
A black and white photograph of a woman is stuck on the mirror. She tapes her breasts down with masking tape. She buttons a man's shirt over her shorts.
Roberta grew up with her dad and three older brothers. Her mother died when she was four. That's her in the picture. Roberta never left the house without that picture.
Shut up, man! Shut
up! In a bedroom.
Tina, tell us how you felt at the exact moment you realized you had won.
Tini in pearls is fully made up.
Well, Rona, I can only say that I've thought about this day.
She takes out her retainer.
That I've thought about this day, dreamed about this day, for as long as I can remember. To win an Academy Award at such a young age is an enormous accomplishment. Where will you go from here?
Tini was an only child.
Well, first
her parents were country clubbers, never around really. A typical upbringing for actors and pathological liars.
Direct.
In a bedroom, everything is pink and frilly. Chrissy runs a brush through her hair.
Oh, I could hide beneath the wings of the bluebird as she sings.
Chrissy? Oh, sorry, honey. Could I come in?
Sure.
Oh, honey, keep this closed. Records get dusty. Uh-oh, canopy up, canopy down. Isn't that the right way?
You know what, Chrissy? I've been thinking about what you asked me.
About sex?
Yes, dear. You say that very casually. It's very scary for Mommy. It's like somebody going, boo, ah, that's what sex is.
I'm sorry, Mommy.
Well, it's all right. It's fine. I believe you're too young to be informed, but since your friends are trash mouths, I think you should hear it from me. The facts. This is gonna come as a shock to you, but this is a flower, right? Okay, well, all women have a garden.
Sometimes.
As a direct result of this conversation, Chrissy will spend a significant part of her adult life obsessed with gardening.
Outside, four boys in t-shirts and shorts ride bikes.
Those are the Wormers. Everyone in the neighborhood felt sorry for their mother. Like us, the Wormers also had a summer goal. It was to make our lives miserable. They were the enemy.
Hey, Wormy Wormers.
The boys fling filled green balloons. Roberta runs after a sandy blonde-haired boy. She leaps and falls. Roberta, Teeny, Sam, and Chrissy ride their bikes out of the Gaslight Edition. A smiling couple leave the courthouse. In a cafe, the girls share a booth. Chrissy counts money. Teeny reads from Cosmopolitan.
Your idea of foreplay is A, a candlelit dinner and moonlit walk on the beach. B, making out on a bearskin rug at a local mountain cabin. C, watching a sexy movie. Or D, all of the above.
B.
E, none of the above.
Roberta, that's not a possible answer.
B, I guess.
Definitely A.
Surprise, surprise.
I think D, all of the above.
Surprise, surprise.
That's $107.24.
So how much more do we need?
$23 and the treehouse is ours.
Hey, I say the first night we get it, we have a slumber party.
Oh, Sam, get a load of your mom.
Through the window, they see a woman bump her car door shut with a swing of her hips.
How short are those shorts?
How tall are those boots?
She is dressed in white knee-high boots, hot pants, and a bright billowy top.
I had no idea why, but earlier that summer, my mom began to dress like Nancy Sinatra.
You've been a mess.
Wow. Mom is so cool.
Hey, you guys, there's a full moon tonight, a festival of the spirits who come back to Earth and walk among the living.
Four black cows. That'll be $1.60, boys. Or girls.
The waitress with a shaggy haircut and darkly painted eyes stares intently.
I know. She is so odd.
What do you expect? She's a witch. I swear. She's got voodoo dolls and everything. I saw them. And hear this. One of the dolls looked exactly like Principal Winters. You know what? There was a needle sticking right in the middle of his heart. I saw it the morning before he had his heart attack.
The waitress returns with change, her piercing stare undiminished as she moves away.
So, do we try another seance tonight?
It didn't work last time, and it's not gonna work this time.
It'll work. This is the one night when the barrier between the dead and the living can be broken. I read it in the Encyclopedia of Supernatural Phenomena.
You are so weird.
I'm in.
Yeah, me too.
Hear this chord. Roberta, you're a woman on the verge. Although your sensuality is yet to be tapped, it is like a volcano ready to erupt. Whoa, everybody look out for Roberta.
That's crap.
Samantha, you walk the fine line between romanticism and sex appeal. Don't be afraid to take a plunge. You might surprise yourself.
I'll keep that in mind.
Chrissy, let go of your inhibitions before you dry up like a prune.
What's that supposed to mean?
Now me. Teeny, you are a sexual magnet attracting men from the four corners of the world. Pace yourself.
Teeny grins broadly with a gleam in her eye. At night. In Sam's room.
Becky, please, we're past that point. This just isn't working.
Sam puts her book down, gets out of bed, and creeps to the window. She looks out to see her father put a suitcase into his shiny red Super Sport Chevelle. She races back, wearing jeans and a white shirt. Sam feigns sleep as her mother appears in the doorway.
I decided not to tell the others about my father. Call me a fool, but I actually thought he'd be back. A wishful notion I held on to for years. At the time, no one in the Gaslight Edition had gotten a divorce. And the last thing I wanted was to be different from my friends.
Sam climbs out her window. At night, in a cemetery.
Freezing. So cold out here.
Take my shirt. Now I'll be cold, but maybe you'll shut up.
Sam, Roberta, Teeny, and Chrissy sit in a circle. Candles illuminate them.
It makes me look fat.
You are fat.
I am not fat. Am I fat?
Now hold hands with the person sitting next to you, palm to palm.
Let's contact Marilyn Monroe.
She didn't cooperate last time. No one ever cooperates.
I think we should bring back somebody buried in this cemetery.
How about Dear Johnny?
His stone reads, Rest in Peace, Dear Johnny, May 22, 1933, June 10, 1945.
Let's find out how he died. Close your eyes. Guide us in our pursuit of the spirit world. Keep our circle safe from those who promote evil and seek to harm. Dear Johnny, we know you were just a kid when you died. We want to find out how. Dear Johnny, can you hear me? If you can hear me, give us a sign. Let us know. It's okay, we just want to talk to you. Tell us how you died.
He's here.
Chrissy's eyes are closed. She rocks back and forth.
He wants to tell us a story.
Chrissy, maybe we should stop.
He's afraid.
Tell him not to be afraid. Tell him it's okay.
He's all by himself. He's lonely. He needs a friend.
I got you.
Roberta punches Chrissy.
Hey, that hurt.
Yeah, well, you deserve it, fatso.
Don't you ever do that again.
I'm sorry, you guys. But you're so gullible when it comes to this seance stuff. I mean, it's all just pretend, right?
A bolt of lightning strikes the tree.
Chrissy, where are you going? Somebody get him before he has a heart attack. Chrissy, wait
up! I know! Sam stops and glances back.
Come on, come on!
what you've done.
What?
You know how much I hate to get dirty.
It's nothing.
It's Crazy Pete.
A gaunt, bearded man wearing coveralls and a dingy jacket rides a dilapidated bicycle through the cemetery.
Let's go through the field.
In Chrissy's bedroom, she turns on the light. She lies engulfed in pink bedding, wearing a pink nightgown with flowers and pink curlers. She looks under the bed. In Sam's bedroom, through the open window, the curtains billow. The hamster wheel spins. A telescope spins on its axis. A shadow of a boy passes along the wall. As it reaches the window, it disappears, as does the wind. The telescope stops abruptly. Sam gets out of bed and pulls a cord outside her window. It is strung to another house. Roberta rises out of bed. She pulls the cord three times and grabs a flashlight. She turns it on and flashes it toward another house across the yard. Teeny reaches sleepily for a flashlight and signals Roberta back. Teeny reaches for a walkie-talkie.
Secret meeting.
Now?
In the cemetery.
Remember, I thought I saw someone in the cemetery after the seance? Well, I think he came into my bedroom.
Who?
Dear Johnny.
Give me a break. This is a really bad idea. This is definitely not a good idea.
Shut up, Chrissy. You're bugging the crap out of me right now.
Ditto.
Sam!
Sam!
Sam stumbles on the broken headstone of Dear Johnny.
Holy cow!
We did it! He's back. And we brought him here.
A crow swoops by. Daytime.
Nothing on Dear Johnny. Everything before 1948 was lost in the fire. But Miss Wendy says the Greenfield Library carries copies of all the county newspapers.
That settles that.
What settles what?
We can't ride our bikes all the way to Greenfield.
The girls stare at Chrissy.
Can we?
The four girls are in shorts, t-shirts, and sneakers, riding their Schwinn bikes on a quiet stretch of road.
No matter what,
leafy green trees lie on either side.
Yeah.
Teeny has a small radio strapped to the front of her yellow bike. Chrissy puts her feet on the pink tasseled handlebars of her pink bike. A train passes overhead. Cows graze. A sign reads, Greenfield, 9.
If you would give me all,
see it, girl.
I would give it to you.
Outside a gas station, Sam carries four Coke bottles to the table where the girls have spread out lunch.
Truth or dare, Roberta?
Truth.
How big are your boobs now?
Drop dead.
She has to say, doesn't she, Sam?
She doesn't have to say if she doesn't want to.
Then can we see them?
No, you can't see them.
Weirdo.
I don't have any real ones yet.
You'll get them, and you'll hate them.
No, you're lucky, Roberta. Men love them when they're big. Look at how big mine are today.
Teeny shows off her curves.
They almost look real.
It's filled with pudding.
Pudding? The wormers actually gave me the idea. Jell-O was too jiggly. Pudding has a heavier, more realistic texture.
What flavor is it?
It's vanilla. Hmm. Chrissy, truth or dare?
Truth.
Have you ever been French kissed?
Are you kidding? I don't want to get pregnant.
You can't get pregnant from kissing.
I know that, Beetle Brain. But it's common knowledge that if you tongue kiss a boy, he automatically thinks you'll do the deed with him. They can't help it. They're driven. It's the male curse.
And what deed would that be?
You know, planting the seed and watering the flower. Isn't that how it works? The man takes his watering can and sprinkles it on the flower.
On their bikes, the paved road turns to dirt.
Oh, my darling, knock three times on the ceiling if you want me. Oh, twice on the pipe if the answer is no. Oh, my sweetness means you'll meet me in the hallway. Whoa.
They pass a red barn.
I think it's time for a break.
Well, we haven't ridden that far since lunch.
Come on.
Fine, go ahead. Leave me here. I don't care, but I'm taking a break.
Wait, listen. Turn that off.
Above, a bird sits in a tree.
It's beautiful.
Wow.
The bird relieves itself.
Where'd it go? Where'd it go?
What? What?
It's in your head.
Get it out!
Get it out! Get it out! I can't.
Get it.
It's all runny.
Come on.
Get it out of my head.
Chrissy, calm down.
Get it out.
Chrissy washes her hair in a pond. She slips and falls in. Teenie and Sam jump in.
Look out below!
Roberta stands in a tree.
Roberta, don't! It's too shallow! Bombs away!
Down in the water.
Roberta! 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 Roberta!
They reach her still form.
Roberta! No!
Sam and Tina pull her to shore.
Someone's gotta give her mouth to mouth. You do mouth to mouth, I'll do CPR. No, other way around.
Out of my way.
Chrissy pushes Sam and Teenie aside. She puts her head to Roberta's chest.
Roberta.
Roberta opens her eyes and spits water in Chrissy's face.
Well, it's good to know who your true friends are.
You know, I was gonna do it.
Me too, I really was.
You're right. Chrissy here is the only one who's really.
Oh, Chrissy!
Chrissy slaps Roberta across the face.
Don't you ever do anything like that to me again. Ever!
It was a joke!
That wasn't the first time Roberta faked her own death. None of us had experienced a loss like Roberta's, and we didn't understand her jokes. But she kept trying to make death funny, maybe to make it easier for herself.
Sorry,
If it means anything to you, I really appreciate it that you would have done that mouth-to-mouth thing.
You scared me to death.
I'm sorry.
Roberta, you're my best friend.
Are you guys here?
Four naked wormers are swimming in the pond.
Hey, you guys.
The boys' parked bikes are draped with clothes.
Let's do it.
The girls gather the clothes.
Get ready to make a mad dash. Yeah, you better start now.
Buzz off, Hoghead.
No, I'm serious. Get going. This is too easy.
Come on.
Hey, Wormer! It's payback time! Come and get them, suckers!
Hey! You better give those back!
Yeah, dream on, animal.
The boys swim toward the shore. The girls reach their bikes.
Hey! All right, joke's over!
Come and get us!
Give us our clothes back!
Nice! Andy! Come and get them!
Come
and get them!
The girls fling the wormers' clothes. They give chase, holding small pieces of burlap for covering.
All for one and one for all! Yeah!
Greenfield Public Library.
Come on, Chrissy.
Hey, you guys, wait up.
Dust.
Nothing happened in April.
Nothing ever happens in Shelby.
I kind of like it that way.
Nothing.
The girls carefully examine large leather-bound books of newspapers. Roberta's eyes grow wide as she reads a headline, Local Teacher Killed.
What's wrong?
It's my mom.
Chrissy, Teenie, and Sam gather around Roberta.
It was a head-on collision. The driver of the pickup truck fell asleep at the wheel. She was pinned in the car for an hour and a half before she was rescued. She was fully conscious while rescue workers attempted to extract her from the demolished vehicle. She died during the night at Greene County Hospital of massive head injuries and severe internal bleeding.
I don't understand this. This isn't right.
What do you mean? It must have been awful for her. A lot of pain. She was really beautiful, wasn't she? Like a movie star.
Roberta picks up the book and carries it over to a photocopy machine. Folds the copy into her pocket. She returns the book to the shelf. The girls resume their search.
Guys,
I think I found something.
Rick.
Funeral services will be held on Saturday for 12-year-old Jonathan Sims and his mother, 36-year-old Beverly Ann Sims. Due to the unexpected and tragic circumstances involving the deaths, the family has asked that the services remain private.
That's it. There's nothing else.
What do you mean that's it? How did they die?
Wait a minute. The pages have been torn out. Somebody's gone to a lot of trouble to keep dear Johnny's death a mystery.
The girls ride their bikes to a rundown part of town.
This is it.
The suspicious lack of details surrounding dear Johnny's death led us to the one person we knew could help us find out more.
They stop in front of a faded green house with peeling paint and a sign reading, Mystic Advice and Readings. The waitress with the shaggy haircut opens the door.
Yes?
We need your help.
I'm a little blue today, boys.
Go on, give her the money.
The girls look at Chrissy, who frowns.
Maybe this'll cheer you up. Come on.
I can't believe we're spending 10 treehouse dollars on a baby.
What brings you here today?
We've been contacted by a spirit. His name is Jonathan Sims.
I know.
They walk through a red beaded curtain and sit down at an inlaid table.
I feel a strong spiritual presence here.
For 10 treehouse dollars, I'd feel it too.
Silence.
Incense and candles surround them. The shaggy-haired woman closes her eyes and rolls her head.
The spirits are here, and yes, they want to talk to you.
The woman picks up a packet of tarot cards wrapped in a crushed velvet scarf.
Okay. I want you to shuffle these twice and then cut them three times facing me. Relax your minds and bodies and be open to his presence.
Death card is drawn.
We want to find out how he died.
The woman puts her fist to her mouth and stares. The next card is a man lying face down in a pool of blood with multiple swords protruding from his back.
Did you see the look on her face?
She was scared.
You guys, Willa Dean's a fake. She was scared and so were you. Well, what do we do now?
The spirits haunt the living for a purpose. Dear Johnny wants us to find out how he died.
You saw the card. He was murdered.
Maybe he wants us to settle the score.
Come on. This is getting out of hand.
He needs to talk to someone who was alive when he died.
Like who?
My grandma. She's the oldest person I know.
She has her poker game this afternoon, but she said we could stop by tomorrow morning.
Your grandmother plays poker?
She likes to gamble.
Oh, wait, but I promised my dad we'd paint our garage door tomorrow. I mean, come on, guys, it's $10.
Hey, Kenny, where's the fire?
Softball game, Kendall's Field.
Oh, let's go.
It's gonna be all boys.
So what are we waiting for?
Roberta rolls her eyes.
Come on. Keep your eye on the ball. Come on, Roberta. Woo!
Come on, Roberta.
This is for yesterday.
Strike her in!
Come on, Roberta. You can do
The sandy blonde-haired boy pitches the ball. A skinny brown-haired boy pushes up his glasses as he approaches Chrissy.
Hello, dear. Get lost, nerdo.
Chrissy wrinkles her nose, but makes room for him to sit down. His eyes never leave her.
Okay, let's go, Roberta. Home run, all the way home.
Who are you kidding? Girls can't play softball.
A large boy sits on the fence.
What did you say?
I said girls can't play softball.
Roberta throws down her bat.
What you doing?
Roberta, remember you're a lady.
She heads right toward him.
Why don't you go home and play with your dolls?
The only doll Roberta's got is a G.I. Joe.
Roberta swings at the boy, knocking him clean off the fence. They roll on the ground. Roberta sits on top of the boy, repeatedly slugging him. Teenie and Sam pull her off.
You wimp!
Roberta, look at your hair!
You wimp! Crazy witch!
Foul mouth! How does it feel to get the crap kicked out of you by a girl, huh?
It's too bad your mother's dead. Somebody needs to teach you to act like a girl.
The bloody-nosed bully turns away. Sam pounces on him. They fall to the ground. The fight ensues. Outside Sam's house, Sam has smudges of dirt on her cheeks. Her hair is in disarray. A wide grin rests on her face.
There you are. Samantha, I want you to meet a friend of mine. This is Mr. Kent.
Hey, Samantha. Boy, your mom's been telling me all kinds of great things about you. Says you're a real good kid. It's a pleasure.
Mr. Kent, wearing a blue knit suit and red scarf.
Samantha?
Extends his hand while holding Sam's sister in his left arm.
Samantha.
Sam's mom nods toward Mr. Kent. Sam shakes her head. She rolls her eyes and slowly extends her hand.
Great pleasure to meet you, little lady. You're a looker, too. Just like your mommy.
Sam squints her eyes and scoffs. At the dinner table.
So, Samantha, your mom tells me you're real interested in science.
Science fiction.
You ever been to the Smithsonian?
She shakes her head.
Oh, well, let me tell you, that's something to see. Whew, that place is big. Bigger than big. I don't know, Mom. We might need to plan a trip to D.C. before school starts. What do you think?
That would be just great. Wouldn't that be just great, Samantha?
I think we all might have a pretty good time.
My dad's gonna take us there. Mr. Kent?
Oh, please call me Bud.
Bug?
No, Bud. B-U-D.
Well, Bud, you have a piece of food stuck in your teeth.
He spills a full glass of red wine on himself.
That's fine. It's okay. Oh, just hold on. I'll be right.
Okay. Oh, boy. How's my...
Oh, it's gone. It's gone.
It's gone? Thanks. First date jitters.
Wow, Bud, that's a pretty scarf.
Oh, thank you, Angela. Oh, boy.
Here's this.
Thank you. I got your chair pretty good there.
It's fine. That's good, huh? Whoops.
Sam's mom gives Bud a shirt reading Ted. Sam leaves the table.
Samantha? Samantha?
At night, a house party is underway. Martinis are being served. Up on the roof, Teenie is watching a drive-in movie over the treetops.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
Sam joins her.
How's the movie? Tearjerker.
How come you're out so late?
Just need to do some thinking.
In the summer? You want to go try out the treehouse?
Sure.
Roberta is playing basketball. The sandy blonde-haired boy walks by.
You're not following through.
Who asked you?
He turns to leave.
See ya.
Hey.
Roberta throws him the ball. He makes a basket. They play one-on-one. She spins around and sinks one. His shot hits the rim. She gets the rebound and sinks it.
You're pretty good. You know?
Thanks.
And I mean, like, not just for a girl, you know, for a guy.
Thanks.
The start of a smile plays on her lips.
Hey, you want a pop or something?
Cool. That'd be great.
The blonde-haired boy smiles. The boy and Roberta sit on a garden swing drinking pop.
Roberta?
What?
Why do you think we fight all the time?
Just something to do, I guess.
Because, you know, I was wondering. I think you're a really nice girl.
I always thought you hated me.
So did I.
He turns to face Roberta.
Roberta?
What?
Can I kiss you?
What are you mumbling?
Would it be all right if... Can I kiss you?
I guess.
Great, you ready?
You want to do it now?
Sure. I mean, if you want to.
Okay.
Their lips press together. She pulls back and looks up at the sky.
That was great. It's okay.
They don't look at one another.
Scott?
He leans close.
Yeah?
If you mention this to anyone, especially your brothers,
I'll beat the spit out of you.
Okay.
At night, in the treehouse display model.
Truth or dare?
Truth.
If you were stranded on a deserted island with me, Chrissy, and Roberta, and there was nothing to eat whatsoever, who would you kill for food?
I dispute the question. The odds of that happening are slim and nil.
You still have to answer.
Then Chrissy, I guess.
Why?
Because she'd feed more people. Truth or dare?
Truth.
Do you like your parents?
I don't really know my parents. But as far as I can tell, they're morons.
You know, I believe what that soldier said about your parents not always being right. I mean, just because they're adults doesn't mean they know crap.
Well, I never thought they did.
I did. My dad moved out. They're getting a
I thought your parents got along.
I lied.
Why?
I don't know. I just wanted to have a normal family, you know? Like the Brady Bunch.
Well, six kids sharing one bathroom does not sound like fun to me. Besides, Mike and Carol are widowed.
Well, then the Partridge Family.
Shirley Jones is a widow. Buffy and Jody, they're orphans. Courtship of Eddie's father, widower. My three sons, widower. Bonanza, widower.
Beverly Hillbillies,
widower. You see, Sam? There are no perfect families. It's normal for things to be icky.
Well, maybe normal. But it's smart. All those parents died, Teeny. My dad chose to leave.
Tears well up in Sam's eyes. Teeny sits next to Sam.
I really miss him.
Teeny puts an arm around Sam and pulls her close. Teeny removes a colorfully beaded necklace.
What do you do when you love those?
Teeny bites the string in half and wraps one part around Sam's wrist and the other part around her own.
When you're 12, without effort, you live in the moment. You don't regret the past or worry about the future. And at that moment in the treehouse, Teeny filled my heart with hope and comfort.
Best friends for life.
For life. We better go.
Yeah. You know, I heard in another 10 years, half the population's gonna be divorced.
I find that really hard to believe.
Sam ride their bikes down a deserted street.
Teeny! What? It's gone! What'd you lose? My bracelet, it just fell off! Well, let's go back in the morning, it's raining! We have to find it now!
They search. Sam reaches through a rain gutter just as the beads slide further down.
It's okay. I can get it. Be careful.
I will. Hold on.
Oh, God.
Sam climbs in.
Got it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff down here. Let's go yo-yo. Cool.
A flood of water pours into the gutter. Sam slips backwards as she tries to reach the opening. Water pours in. A rat scurries by.
Help!
head slips under the water. Strong hands move Timmy aside as a man lifts the manhole cover and plunges in the water. He picks Sam up out of the water and onto the street. Man lifts Sam to her feet. It's Crazy Pete.
Why are you afraid of me?
It's weird the way you only come out at night. It's kind of scary, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't like to see a lot of people. I don't think they like to see a lot of me.
Away.
You wouldn't have been there, Sam.
Teeny and I both knew what would have happened had he not been there. And on that night, we caught a glimpse of a hero in Crazy Pete.
Morning. Dressed in shorts and long shirts, Roberta, Teeny, and Sam are painting the garage door. Chrissy, in pink pigtails, eats a Twinkie and watches.
You are my candy girl. And you got me wanting you.
Roberta, you missed your spot.
Why don't you get your butt off the asphalt and help?
You know if I don't eat every few hours, I get nauseous.
And you got me wanting you.
Warmer alert.
I thought it smelled something foul.
Maybe it's your armpits, lard butt.
Oh, your wit astounds me.
Hey. I don't know. Come on, man, let's get out of here.
Scott lags behind.
Ladies?
Roberta looks into his eyes with a slight smile.
What's his problem?
Maybe he's a pod person.
Maybe he's not such a creep after all.
Scott turns and looks back. A smile rests on his lips.
That was the day that Roberta quit taping her boobs.
The girls approach a well-kept craftsman house.
I didn't know you were bringing the whole neighborhood. Come on in. Come on Sam, in. I got a whole pitcher of fresh lemonade for you.
Sam's grandma opens the door.
Sit down, girls. Samantha, how are you holding up?
I'm fine, Grandma.
I'm glad to hear it. I've been worried to death about you.
I'm really okay.
Good. I'm so glad.
She's just fine, Mrs. Robertson. We're taking good care of her.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Oh, let's see now. You have extra company. 1, 2, 3, so I'll get some glasses, and then you can ask me this important question you need to know.
Okay. Sam. Why is your grandma so worried about you?
Who knows?
All right. Chrissy, Roberta, Jenny, and Samantha. Yeah. And me. Bottoms up. How is it?
It's great.
Good. It's refreshing. Well.
Grandma, do you remember a little boy our age and his mother who died here in 1945? Jonathan and Beverly Ann Sims. We were just wondering how they died. Did something terrible happen to them?
Yes. But it's the kind of thing you don't want to hear about.
She passes a plate of cookies.
Please, we want to know.
You'll have nightmares for weeks.
Come on, Mrs.
Please,
Albertson.
Mrs. Albertson.
Tell us.
Yeah, come on, Grandma. What happened?
It took me a long time to forget that terrible tragedy, Samantha. I don't want to dredge it up again. You're just like your grandpa. All that junky piled up in the attic. And he had these weird fascinations. The old poop.
She brings out a carpet sweeper.
Curious about everything that went on in this town. Oh, God. Dear Lord. Old Anna. Old Maud. Drink up, everybody. I'd love to chat, but I've got a big bingo tournament over in farmland.
She retrieves the full lemonade glasses.
I want to make sure I get some good cards this time. Come on, get out. Oh, come on, hurry, everybody. Let's go.
Hurry it up. We're going to be late.
Bye, Grandma. Bye, Mrs. Alderson.
Bye. You come and see me again soon, Samantha.
Okay. They must love bingo.
The girls climb outdoor furniture to the porch roof.
We really should hurry up. We could get in trouble for this.
Come on, Chrissy.
Don't drop me.
Okay, on three.
Hey, now pull.
One, two, three.
In the attic.
I know Grandpa's scrapbooks are in here somewhere.
The girls investigate.
Find anything?
Yet. Teeny, in a white gown, switches on a phonograph.
Sam, I think I found something.
Those are my parents.
You make a great couple.
Yeah.
Sam picks up a newspaper clipping reading, "Murder Stunned Town, Suspect at Large."
Jackpot.
They were murdered. Beverly Ann Sims and her 12-year-old son, Jonathan, were found brutally murdered late Friday night. Their bodies were discovered by Peter Sims. After leaving the sidecar pub around midnight, he entered his house to find his wife and son had been shot to death. The sheriff's department believes a burglar was caught off guard and killed the two witnesses when they apparently woke from their sleep. They have no clues as to a suspect. The sheriff has every reason to believe the robber was probably just passing through and has left the area. It's an editorial from my grandfather to the paper. What appears to be isn't at all. That's the knowledge we've gained from the brutal deaths of Jonathan and Beverly Ann Sims. If we thought Shelby was a safe, sleepy town, sheltered from the violence of the outside world, we were deceived.
Shelby is a safe town. Something like this could happen here. Think of how bad it must be out there.
Roberta stares intently, twisting her face into a grimace. She jumps up toward the phonograph. Roberta picks up a statuette and hurls it toward a mirror.
Roberta, it's okay.
No!
Me. He said that this beautiful angel swooped down to earth and carried her away before she had a second to feel any pain. Why did you have to die? Why did you have to lie to me? He's all I have left and he lied.
Chrissy sits next to Roberta.
It's not all you have left.
Teeny and Sam join them.
All I can count on is you guys.
I know how you feel.
What do you mean?
My dad moved out. They're getting a divorce.
A divorce? I'm sorry, Sam.
You guys have us.
I say we make a pact, here and now. We're here for each other always, no matter what happens in life. If Tina goes off to Hollywood, or I marry a rich doctor, we remember this day, this pact. Whenever we need a friend, we're here for each other. Always. No matter what.
One by one,
it's a pact.
The girls place their hands on top of one another.
All for one,
and one for all. Now more than ever, we need to put dear Johnny to rest.
Everybody ready?
Ready.
At night,
ready.
They join hands illuminated by candlelight.
We brought dear Johnny back from the dead, and it's up to us to send him home. Close your eyes. Guide us in our pursuit of the spirit world. Keep our circle safe from those who promote evil and seek to harm. Dear Johnny, we know you and your mother were brutally murdered. Did you come back to tell us who did it? We're here to help you rest in peace, Johnny. We're listening.
He's here.
Don't break the circle. Tell us who did it, Johnny. We're here to help.
Chrissy glances over at a bright flashing light among the cemetery headstones. Dear Johnny's headstone approaches out of the mist. An outline of a man appears.
Hey, this isn't a playground. It's a cemetery. And you kids should have a little respect for the dead.
Hey, we have a lot of respect for the dead, okay?
Yeah, that's why we're here.
We resurrected dear Johnny from the grave.
Oh, really?
Well, how do you think his tombstone got cracked down the middle?
I knocked it over with my tractor.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's not easy moving around all these headstones.
The groundskeeper grins, shakes his head, and walks away toward the tractor holding Johnny's headstone.
I'm not doing any more of these dumb seances. They're a waste of time.
I just can't believe we thought we did it.
Well, what about the tarot cards and...
Get over it.
Up the candles.
I knew at that moment our days of playing make-believe were over. As we grow older, it becomes difficult to just believe. It's not that we don't want to, but too much has happened and we can't. Crazy Pete stands alone among the headstones, his hat clutched to his chest. Sam pauses and looks back.
What's wrong?
I forgot something in the cemetery. I'll catch up.
You want me to come with you?
No, I'll be okay.
Sam picks two stems of yellow pom-pom mums. Pete is standing in front of dear Johnny's tombstone. Fresh flowers rest on the stone.
You're Peter Sims.
He nods.
We were my family.
It's a terrible thing that happened to them. I'm sorry.
For the longest time, I thought I could have stopped it. If I would have been home, instead of down at that bar.
But you were there for me.
Wasted a lot of years, afraid to face people, mostly afraid to face myself.
He looks in the distance. She takes his hand.
I'm scared too.
He turns to her and smiles.
What's your name?
Samantha.
Samantha, things will happen in your life that you can't stop. But that's no reason to shut out the world. There's a purpose for the good and for the bad.
He turns and walks away among the gravestones.
Taken him a lifetime to learn. And although I understood the importance of his words, it's only now, looking back, that I understand their meaning.
Rest in peace, dear Johnny.
She places the flowers by the headstone. Checks her face in a hand mirror. Sam sits on the roof, writing in a journal.
We all used to try so hard to fit in. We wanted to look exactly alike, do all the same things, practically be the same people. And when we weren't looking, that changed. The treehouse was supposed to bring us more independence, but what the summer actually brought was independence from each other.
Samantha? 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 Samantha?
What?
Your car is blocking my Jeep.
Shoot.
It's coming. I think I saw its head.
You saw its head? You didn't see its head?
You didn't see its head.
No!
No, forget the keys. Take the limo.
The limo?
Yeah.
Take the limo.
All right, we'll take the limo. Go get the bags. Call Morton.
Great. No, here.
No, wait. Don't leave me alone.
Here? All right, let's just get you in the car before you have another one of those fits.
Sam and Roberta lead the laboring Chrissy to the limo.
How you doing?
All right.
Get out. I need your car.
Pardon me?
All right. I have a pregnant lady here. I have to get her to the hospital.
Oh.
Well, it's no problem, ma'am. Just tell me where it is, and I'll get you there in a jiffy.
Well, a jiffy isn't going to do it.
Hey, Moment Buster!
See? Having a baby.
Thank you very much.
All right, just tell him his wife's
having a baby.
Have a nice day.
Roberta takes the wheel.
Go!
As Sam, Chrissy, and Teeny settle in the back.
Now, this is pretty good suspension.
Roger.
Sorry.
Morton's in the middle of a root canal, but he'll meet us at the hospital.
There's Koodles of room back here.
Should you be doing this?
Is that a VCR?
I can't believe there's a VCR in here. Roberta, there's a VCR in here!
Yeah, does it have a remote?
Oh!
Okay, enough screaming. Thank you.
Breathe.
Chrissy, your uncle! Unloaded.
In the birthing room.
Chrissy, you're gonna have to push.
Oh, you
come on, Chrissy, push. Come on, you are gonna have to power down, all right? Now push, Chris, push.
Chrissy grimaces.
Come on, all right, I can see the head. I see the head.
Come on.
You really can see it, little head.
Is it supposed to look like that?
Yes,
it's no.
Chris, you're doing great.
Is it a boy or a girl?
I don't know. So far, it's just a head. All right, we're almost there. One more big one, Chris. Almost there, Chris. You're almost there. One more big one, Chris. Come on.
No, I want it out of me. Get it out. Get it out.
Get it out of her. Get it out of her.
It's a girl. Beautiful baby girl.
Tears form in Sam's eyes. Teeny smiles.
Am I too late?
No, Morton. Look, it's your baby.
Hello, dear.
We have a baby girl.
The bifocal Morton pushes up his glasses as he leans over and kisses Chrissy on the forehead. Chrissy mouths the words, "Thank you." Roberta mouths, "I love you." Chrissy, Teeny, Roberta, Sam, and the baby sit together on the floor.
See?
She really is beautiful.
You know, kind of looks like Rush Limbaugh.
Very funny, Roberta.
Chrissy, truth or dare?
Oh. Truth.
Are you happy?
Yes. I'm so happy I feel like I could just bust and shoot happiness out all over everywhere.
Chrissy, in a pink jumpsuit, smiles.
Roberta, truth or dare?
Truth.
Just how big are your boobs now?
Well, just how big are your boobs?
36D, and with every penny.
D, oh no.
Sam, truth or dare?
Truth.
Are you happy?
Not really. But I just figured that it's normal for things to be icky. Huh. Look, I got an A+ on career day. I must have just missed that class on personal relationships.
What are you talking about, Sam?
I've had how many relationships in how many years? And I've run from every one of them, which doesn't make it easy to get to that next level.
The intimacy level.
Well, if you don't fall in love, you can't get hurt.
But it sure is lonely all by yourself.
Yeah, it is. Hey, you guys remember that summer with Crazy Pete?
Oh, God, we loved a mystery, didn't we?
Did we have fun that summer or what?
Yeah, it was the best.
You know, I used to send Crazy Pete a Christmas card every year with some cash. But it came back last year.
Yeah, he died.
You know, I never told you guys this, but Pete was Dear Johnny's father.
What?
He was?
How did you know that? Well, do you remember our last seance in the cemetery? I went back and Pete was there putting flowers on Johnny's grave. He said something that didn't mean as much then as it does now. He told me that things happen in life that you can't stop, but it wasn't a reason to shut out the world. I realize that I've been so afraid of the bad things that I've missed out on good.
You know, I didn't want to come back here. But I'm really glad I did. I'd forgotten how much it helped to have you guys as friends. Really lucky to have this place. And each other. Boy, and there is a part of me that would like to just stay here forever.
I wouldn't go that far. But it would be nice to come back and visit more often.
I agree.
Let's make it a pact.
One by one, they place their hands on top of each other. Narrated by Rick Bonds. Description written by Nicole Parsons.
And one for all.
Video description produced by Closed Captioning Services and WeCTV.com. The women join in a game of Red Rover.
Come on. You can run from the disappointments you're trying to forget. But it's only when you embrace your past that you truly move forward. Maybe Thomas Wolfe never got to go home again, but I found my way there, and I'm glad I did.